in the book of Jude, the only chapter, verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. So may it be. Unto him who is able to keep you from falling, to him be glory, to him be majesty, to him be might and dominion, both now and forever. I feel this morning somewhat like the songwriter must have felt when he wrote, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord." I feel that we should be ready at a moment's notice to shout it from the housetops, to tell it far and wide, "To God be all the glory and all the majesty and all the power, both now and ever." I feel that I would like to hear all of the universe join in unison to adore the Lord Jesus and to say to him, unto him who is able to keep us from falling, unto him that loved us and loosed us from our sins in his own blood, to him be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Well, my friend, one day we shall hear that. For I read in the book of the Revelation, chapter 5, at verse 13, that every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that dwell therein heard I saying, "Blessing and honor, glory and power, to him that sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then when Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, in the second chapter of that book of Philippians, Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of godliness, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on the earth, and of things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done." Well, I've entitled my message this morning, "To God be the glory." And I would say first, to God be the glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. When the Apostle Paul concluded that majestic epistle to the saints in Rome, in the 16th chapter at verse 27, Paul wrote, "To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever and forever." Now one might ask, but how? How can God be glorified through Jesus Christ? And I would answer, there are a multitude of ways. The ways are uncounted. They are unnamed. They are unnumbered. The ways that God can be glorified through Jesus Christ our Lord. But I believe this, that the most wonderful, the most excellent, and the most effective way that God can be glorified through Jesus Christ is the preaching and the proclamation of the gospel of redeeming grace. Now, I want you to observe three things about that gospel. First, the message of the gospel. What is the message of the gospel? It is simple. It is sublime. It is this: how Jesus died. Oh, my friend, all of the theology that a man ever needs is summed up in that word. Died. How that Jesus died. But that didn't end it all. How that he was buried. And that didn't end it all. But how that he rose again on the morning of the third day. I don't know, but I suppose God had been preparing my heart for this message for some days. I've had young preachers come up to me and say, "When do you start preparing your messages?" And I said, "Well, I never stop." But I've had that song on my heart for days. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes my heart to tremble. 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 Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they laid him in the grave? Were you there when they laid him in the grave? Sometimes it causes my heart to tremble. Tremble, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the grave? Were you there when he rose up from the tomb? Were you there when he rose up from the tomb? Sometimes I feel like shouting, shouting, shouting. Were you there when he rose up from the grave? That's the message of the gospel. How that he died and was buried and rose again. Then there is a mystery in the gospel. What is that mystery? Paul unfolds it for us by telling us that the great body of Gentile believers shall be brought in to be one with God's people Israel. And how that the gospel shall be proclaimed worldwide to all men, both Jew and Gentile. Then that third thing is the mandate of the gospel. Jesus said, "This gospel must be preached around the world." That's why we urge you to be involved in a worldwide proclamation of the gospel. I believe that it is glorifying to God that every creature, every member of Adam's race be brought in to share in the good news of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. While I read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The mandate of the gospel is that it be preached around the world, be shared with everybody. A group of missionaries in England were sitting around a table one day having an afternoon tea. And as they sat there came across the floor an ant, and up the table leg, and across the table, and into the saucer, and finding nothing there, the ant went right straight to the sugar bowl. And unapologetically, unhesitatingly, he just went right down into the sugar bowl, stayed a little while, got his fill, and then got a little grain of sugar, started out of the bowl, and down the bowl and across the table and down the leg and across the floor and out of sight. And they sat in a little while They saw that aunt coming back and had some of his kin folks with him. They came right across the floor and up the table leg and across the table and right to the sugar bowl. And without any embarrassment at all, they all just went right into the sugar bowl. And they all ate sugar. Then they all just got right out of the sugar bowl, across the table, down the leg, across the floor, and disappeared. Lo and behold, it was not long until a whole colony of ants, marching two by two, they came across the floor and up the table leg and across the table, and they didn't even blush as they all ran into the sugar bowl and got all they wanted, and then every one of them started out with a grain of sugar, down the table leg, across the floor, and disappeared. Now, if it were today, we might give them a dollar bill, but we wouldn't give them a grain of sugar to take out. But the message and the moral of that story is this, that we have been eating of the good things of God, and shame on us. We do not go out and take that bread of life and share it with the multiplied millions around the world, beginning right in our own home and right in our own doorstep. Let's get busy, my folks, and get out of the sugar bowl this morning and crawl down the table leg and across the city and tell men about Jesus and take them the bread of life. For it is God's mandate. It's not a whether we want to or not. It is a mandate of God that the gospel be preached around the world. To God be the glory. And I would say in the second place, to God be the glory in your life. There is a verse of Scripture that every Christian ought to memorize. And it is found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, and verse 31. Paul will write, and listen to it carefully, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Oh, if we practice that, what kind of world would this be? Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. You might be asking, but how can my life bring glory to God? And I will answer that by saying first, your life will bring glory to God when your life is filled with good works. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine that others might see your good works." They can't see your faith. That's why James will say, "You're justified before the world by your works." Let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Another way that your life can glorify God is this: when your life is productive in the ministry of winning souls to Jesus. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. If any man abide in me, he shall bring forth much fruit." Now, there are Christians that have been saved 25, 30, 40 years and never won a soul to Christ. You're not bearing fruit, and your life is not glorifying God. There's another way that your life can glorify God. Let me say it very simply and plainly. That your life can glorify God when you reflect the glory of Christ in your face. I believe Christians ought to look differently. I think they ought to act different. I think they ought to be different. I think we ought to have the little choruses, our theme and our prayer, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All of his wonderful passion and purity. All my nature refine, O thou spirit divine, all my nature refine until the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." You know, when Christ is shining through, everybody's beautiful. There came to my office this week a man and a woman whom I had never seen before. A man called me and said, Brother Barber, we need help. I don't know you and you don't know me, but we need help. Will you please talk with us? And so I did. I won't be honest with you. When that woman came in, why, she was the most unattractive looking person I nearly ever saw. Because she was mad, she was unhappy, and she was disgusted, and she was at her wit's end. You should have seen her when she left. She was a very attractive person because the beauty of Christ was shining through. A man by the name of Maurice was in the trenches in France in World War I. A French soldier. In the mud and mire and muck, he found a little pamphlet written in French, the Gospel of John. And he read it. And as he read it, something welled up in his heart. And the Holy Spirit convicted him of his sin. And over in the end of it, it had a place, I here and now do accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and a place for him to sign it. So he signed it, Maurice. His cousin, Jacques, was in that same outfit in the war. And he was an ungodly man. And he was an unbeliever, an agnostic. Later on, in some of the days of their retreat, they met together in Maurice's outfit in his tent. And when Jacques came in, he said, Maurice, what on earth has happened to you? Why, your face shines like a light. Maurice said, well, since I saw you last, I've trusted the Savior. Right here's where I found him. He held up that muddy gospel according to John, turned it over to the end and said, look what I've done. Jacques read it and read the gospel and he too was saved. When he got back home to his folks, he was telling them what happened to Maurice and what happened to him. They all knew what his past was and how he was an unbeliever and an agnostic. He said to his folks, well, now I could answer all the arguments about God, and I could answer all the arguments about Christ and all the arguments about heaven and all the arguments about hell, but I couldn't answer the glow that I saw in the face of Maurice. I want to tell you, the agnostics can argue against the Bible. The disbelievers can say, I don't believe it. But they cannot get around the fact that Christ is shining through your life. To God be the glory in your life and mine. And I would say in the third place, to God be the glory in the church. For I read in Ephesians 3:21, unto God be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus, world without end. God be the glory in the church. How can the church bring glory to God? I believe there are three ways. Number one, when the church is experiencing revival. I believe number two, when the church is expounding the word. No, my friend, I'd rather our church be known for and noted for. If there is any fame for it, I'd rather it would be noted for expounding the word of the truth of the gospel than anything else. That's when God gets glory. I went down into the Sunday school building this morning. I slipped in the little preschoolers' grades, the toddlers in the kindergarten. They had their little Bibles and the teachers were all standing around ready to teach them the word of God, and I thought, oh, dear me, what a wonderful thing. My little boy said, can I shake your hand? And that started it. And I shook, I don't know how many, tender little hands this morning. And I tell you, it gave me a good feeling inside to shake a tender little hand that hasn't known the calluses of sin yet. And I thought, as long as Worth Baptist Church is teaching little boys and girls the word of God, we are glorifying Him. Unto God be glory in the church. I love the church. I just be honest with you. I don't have much time for organizations that are trying to compete with the church either. Now you folks be careful. Let me tell you folks, be careful. You'll be bombarded with all kinds of literature. You young people be careful too. I'm going to call your name if you don't be quiet. Now, you'll be bombarded by every kind of literature and all kinds of television programs and radio programs. But my friend, if what you hear and what you read is not geared to the church, forget it. God is working in the church to bring glory to Jesus Christ. I just believe that's the way it ought to be. We didn't have the church, folks, we wouldn't have anything. Praise God for the church this morning. Don't be led astray. Don't be carried away by those false doctrines that appear good, but they are outside the confines of the church. And let's stay in the church. May God be glory in the church. And I think concerning the church bringing glory to God, I believe the church can glorify God when the church is evangelizing the world. Oh, I believe God is glorified with this church this morning. While I stand here and preach the gospel to you, 65 missionaries somewhere around the states or across the nation and around the world are preaching the gospel, the same truth and the same gospel this morning. For I say unto you, God is glorified in this church. I received a letter and I shared the contents of it with a congregation Wednesday night from Brother Mel Neal. He's been in Ecuador now for about 3 months. He wrote and said, we've got about 50 people together, and next Sunday, the 24th, we're going to start a church. Worth Baptist Church is going to start a new church next Sunday. And he said in the bottom of the letter, the people want to thank you, the church, for sending us to them. That's glorifying God through the church. I believe that's the way it ought to be. Then, this morning I would say to you, God, to God be the glory through all eternity. I read in 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King, invisible, immortal, eternal, be glory forever and ever. Why will God be glorified forever? In all eternity, I'll tell you why. First, because His will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many people do you suppose have prayed that prayer that our Lord taught His disciples to pray? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, you know, my friend, God's going to answer that prayer. God's will through all eternity shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. God be the glory. Another reason is because the plan and program of God for all the nations of earth will have been executed then for all mankind. And I think the most wonderful and most glorious reason of all is this. Through all eternity, to God be the glory. Because all of God's children will be at home. You parents know what it is for the children to be away from home. You'll pardon the personal reference, but I left home some 20 years ago, and about 8 years later, my dad was called home to be with the Lord. They lived in the church parsonage, and my mother had no place to live. The church took the house over, and she was left out to live with her children, or to live where she could. And in the last 13 years, and I've never mentioned this before, in the last 13 years, she's never had a place that she could call really her home. She's just stayed from one to another. So when we get ready to go home, we don't know where we're going to go. Because we haven't had a home since Daddy died. I hope this church, if I live that long, or if I don't live that long, will do something to take care of my wife after I'm gone. But when the children are scattered and they're away from home, I can remember before Daddy died, I knew where home was going to be. And boy, when I turned the car in that direction, or I got a plane ticket and went in that direction, I knew exactly what was going to happen. Mother and Daddy were going to be waiting at the door. And I was going to be welcomed home. Oh, that's going to bring glory to God. You see, now, many of God's children are away from home. I read the story of a Christian engineer who was longing to meet his departed loved ones in heaven. He was addressing a large group of railroad men. And he arose and said to them, "Gentlemen, I could never tell you how much Jesus Christ means to me." He said, years ago, every night as I neared the end of my run, I would open the whistle as we came around the curve, and I'd look up the top of the hill. That was a little cottage. And my mother always waved me by. And as my old engine started shooting through the tunnel, she'd go back in the house and she'd say, "Thank God, Daddy. Benny's safe home tonight." And he said, "You know, Mother and Daddy are both now gone. And I don't have anybody to welcome me anymore. But I was just thinking that when I finished my earthly run and the old engine starts toward the gates of heaven, there'll be a little couple there to welcome me. And I shall see my mother and daddy. And I know that I'll hear mother say to daddy, 'Daddy, thank God, Benny is safe home at last.' And my friend, that's what's going to bring glory to his name throughout all eternity." I have this footnote and I should be through. It would glorify God today if you would do in your life what God wants you to do, even now. That would bring glory to God.